Welcome to the Beer and Bee Movies podcast. I'm your host, Michael. Episode 99 today. What did I choose? I chose The Evil Dead from 1981. Sam Raimi. And what am I pairing with that? I'm pairing it with Marshall D's Hefeweizen from Allerton Brewing Company in Independence, Iowa. They gave this to me. Thank you guys so much. It's a great little brewery. Oh, this is good. Between Dubuque, Iowa and Waterloo, Cedar Falls. Independence is a great little town, right on the Wapsipinic and a river. The brewery is just a short walk from there. This is fantastic. Hefeweizen and wheat beer drinkers take note. This is spot on. It's a slightly darker color than your average Hefeweizen, but don't let that scare you. It's quaffable as all hell. Notes of banana and clove, refreshing. As we're heading towards summer, this is what you want all day long. And why did I pair it with this movie? A couple of reasons. Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell, the whole crew, these guys are from Michigan originally. And Allerton Brewing Company is from Iowa. Midwest connection. Also, it's a story, and if you're listening to this, podcast, you likely know the movie. Five friends go off into a cabin in the mountains for a getaway, vacation, summer break, they don't really say. And if you're doing something like that, a Hefeweizen would be a great beer to have. If you're just kicking it around a cabin, you know, playing some games, sitting on a swing, avoiding the cellar where the Book of the Dead is, which, you know, we'll get into more. We'll start from the top. We have two couples and a sister. So you have Ash and Linda and Scotty, who's just a jerk, and Shelly, and then Cheryl, Ash's sister. They're going off in the Oldsmobile Delta 88, which is one of the iconic things that come from this movie. You have the Delta 88, the double barrel shotgun, Ash, and the chainsaw. But the Delta 88, they're all cruising on this mountain road. They're encountering some hicks. Scotty, in classic 1981 fashion, is drinking moonshine while he's driving. At one point, a truck veers into their path, and it seems Scotty loses control of the car. Something's biting him, and Ash, who's in the back seat, and he's looking at a map. The map he has looks like it was a placemat from a family restaurant, and he's telling Scotty, "Oh, I had the car fixed," and Scotty's saying, "Take it back to the guy," but it's the first instance that something's wrong because Scotty cannot control the car, and it's almost as if the car is trying to kill all of them. So they get up to this cabin. They drive through the woods. I don't even know how you find it, but they do. And the second moment of what are we supposed to be here kind of happens. Scotty goes up to the door to get the key, and there's a swing on the front porch, and it's just rocking and knocking rhythmically against the house. Everybody else stays back. They stay back by the car. There's a very big distance between them, and everybody just seems a little unsettled. And one of the things I love about this movie is a very minimalist score. It's not overwhelming with constant music. There's a lot of quiet time in this. But Scotty seems he's a little apprehensive about, you know, going in. And he finally finds the key. As soon as he gets the key and opens the door, this swing stops. It's almost right there saying, either welcome or, you know, good luck. As they're settling in, the first person that gets targeted by the Evil Dead is Cheryl. She's the odd person out. She doesn't seem like she's completely with this whole trip. And maybe she's a sensitive as well, because she's an artist, she's drawing, and her hand suddenly becomes controlled by something else, and it draws out this spooky book. Guess what it is? And yeah, this movie, when a movie uses the dead, the Necronomicon, do we even need to discuss whether this is part of the Cthulhu mythos or a Lovecraftian type movie? No, it is. So Cheryl, she ends up drawing this creepy, creepy book. And then as they're all at dinner, and Ash is making just bad toasts, and Scotty's just talking about, "We're going to party down," the cellar door pops open, which means, you know, you got to go investigate, right? No, you don't. I wouldn't. But one of the great One of the great moments is as they're standing over the door to the cellar, someone says, you know, maybe it's a raccoon. And Scotty just goes, raccoon, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Which it's not. It's not really. So Scotty goes down to check it out. And then Ash goes down because they haven't heard from him. And he finds Scotty in a room with the old reel-to-reel tape recorder, this creepy book, a creepier dagger, and Scotty with a double-barrel shotgun, which brings us to another a fun moment in this movie where the Hills Have Eyes poster. Aside from the fact that there's a Professor Nobe who finds the Book of the Dead and takes it up into the mountain to translate it, which we always know is a bad idea, why would he have a Hills Have Eyes poster? Well, Sam Raimi saw in The Hills Have Eyes, Wes Craven's movie, that there was a poster of from Jaws. And Sam Raimi thought, oh, that's Wes Craven saying Jaws is fiction, this is real. So he thought, I'm going to throw this on there to say, no, Hills Have Eyes is a movie, this is real. And then Wes Craven went so far as in Nightmare on Elm Street, he had Nancy watching The Evil Dead to try to stay awake to say, got you again. Sam Raimi comes back in Evil Dead 2 and has Freddy Krueger's claws. That's a fun bit of trivia. I think it goes all the way up to Scream. Seth Green uses The Evil Dead as one of the examples from horror movies. So they find all this stuff, and they go up and start playing the reel-to-reel. And it's a bad idea, guys. Professor Nobe, he was in Kandahar, and he found this book, and he's bringing it back, and he's like, I'm going to translate this thing, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, the Necronomicon. And Cheryl, she's really disturbed by this. And she's saying, stop, please stop, please stop. And Scotty's just hassling her. And of course, he takes it too far. And then we get the love story, which is not the strong suit of this picture. And we get the necklace. Raimi forced them to have this necklace, which looks like a little magnifying glass. I think there was either at some point the idea was going to be the magnifying glass necklace was going to burn the book. That was going to be the way they stopped this thing. Ash and Linda are having a little moment, and it's super sweet, you know? Meanwhile, the evil is creeping around side. They did so many cool shots in this, and it was a necessity is the mother of invention type of deal. And they didn't have steady cams. They invented a rig where two people would hold a camera on a board and run around. That would be the steady cam. And they had other cameras, like these little rigs they came up with, super inventive, putting, you know, cameras on bicycles to create tracking shots that could go fast. But you have this really creepy shot of the camera, the evil, I always call it the evil, just moving around, and there's always this droning, like, picking up on Cheryl. And she does the thing you don't do. She's listening, and there's join us. She's hearing join us. She goes outside into this, you know, foggy wood. There's a very uncomfortable scene. It's one of the more infamous scenes in the movie where Cheryl is out in the woods, and suddenly the woods come alive, and it chases her and chases her, and it ends up it violates her. It's something that a lot of people have a problem with, and I don't blame them one bit, because it is pretty harsh. And then even the making of this movie was like 12 weeks of a grind in mud and cold in the middle of nowhere. And so she escapes and gets back, and she says, you know, she wants to go, and Ash says, I'll take you. This horrible bridge that they drove in on is no longer there. The evil taken it out. So they're stuck. They're stuck at this cabin. And of course, what do? You just start listening to more of this tape. That sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? No. And they find out, hey, the professor's wife has become a demon, and he had to cut her into pieces. That's when you get out of there at all costs. You just start a fire. Just start the whole damn forest on fire. Sam Raimi crafts just some really terrifying moments. There's a ton of gore in this movie. It's over the top. It's almost ridiculous. But the little suspenseful moments that he builds up are so good, and they pay off with this great Shelley and Linda scene where they're doing a card. You hold a card up, and the other person's supposed to guess it, and they're cheating, and Cheryl's got him back to him, and all of a sudden she just slowly starts saying the cards, and she's getting everyone right, and then bam, she turns, and it's demon time, and she falls down, and then the pencil and Linda's ankle is just ouch. Ashley becomes this hero. I mean, he's a huge jerk, but he becomes a hero throughout this series. But in this first one, for most of it, he's taking a backseat to Scotty. Because even to the point where these chintzy 20-pound bookshelves fall on him and he can't get them off him. And then Scotty ends up putting the boots to Cheryl and she's down in the cellar now. And that's going to be some more just horrible, you know, screaming, cursing, yelling from the cellar from her, I guess. And the evil's just cruising around and now it goes boom. It's going to grab Shelly and Scotty. This is when the endless cabin starts coming to the fore. This is a tiny cabin, but it goes on and on. And this is where it really starts for me. As Scotty goes to look for Shelly because something happened and she's no longer in the room. And there's all these, you know, fake jump scares. And then finally she comes and jumps him. Ash gets, you know, taken out again by a cheap bookshelf. And then Scotty stabs her with a knife and it makes her chew her own hand off. It's just over the top gore at its finest. And then he ends up chopping her into pieces. And then he books it. He just says, I'm leaving. I don't care about your girlfriend. I'm out of here. And Ash is alone. And so this is his moment. He needs to start stepping up. And then Linda, of course, she ends up changing. One of the best effects. There is some dated stop motion animation. I still give them huge credit. They put a lot of effort into it. But there's a cool effect with Linda where the pencil went into her ankle. It just, a spider web starts growing out of it. And that's when he knows, oh, great, she's now turned. Thanks a lot, world. And then Scotty comes back. And I always wonder, you have to wonder, did the woods do to him what it did to Linda? Because he went out there and found out, man, the woods isn't a good place to be, Ash. Maybe I should have stayed here. Right, buddy? Well, and Linda's just great. She's just great at being creepy. Her thing is she just laughs. She just has this high-pitched laugh and these horrible contact lenses that were made of glass. And you could only wear them for like 10. They took 10 minutes to put in. And you could only wear them for 15 minutes. Now imagine this. You're out and this is a low, low budget movie. Not like you have your own trailer. And then somebody has to come and take 10 minutes to put these stupid things on your eyes. It's just, oh God. I can't even imagine that. Ash is trying to soothe Scotty. Scotty's pretty much dead at this point. And Linda's just sitting there cross-legged, singing a horrible song and freaking him out. And so he goes and he's going to smack her around. I mean, she's a demon at this point. So he's yelling at her and he's going to shoot her, but he can't. And then she comes back as Linda. And she says, you know, I need help. Help me. And then Cheryl comes back and she goes, oh, I'm okay now, Ashley. And of course, she's faking. Hey, everybody, she's faking. So he drags Linda outside, goes to have a heart-to-heart with Scotty. And he says, hey, man, it's going to be sun up in an hour. And he's trying to pour water down his mouth. And the water's not going anywhere. And we're starting to move in because Ash is the only human left. Raimi starts doing the Dutch angles with the camera. The camera takes a lot of very tilted angles and it throws you off it because we are no longer sort of in reality. We're moving into this area of it's kind of unreality. So Ash is throwing his girlfriend outside and she comes back with a vengeance. So he's got Scotty dying on a couch. He's got his girlfriend coming at him with the big Sumerian dagger they found downstairs. And he's got his sister heckling him from the cellar. And he stabs her and he thinks she's dead and he's going to go dismember her in the work shed, but he can't bring himself to do it. So he goes, I'm going to go bury her. But she has the necklace. And that's when you get like the Evil Dead love theme. It's heartbreaking, you know. His girlfriend turned into a demon and she's wearing a magnifying necklace that he gave her. Oh, it's so sweet. But, you know, she comes back. So he has to beat her with a railroad tie and then cuts her head off with a shovel. And that's when he starts getting drenched in blood. This is Sam Raimi, really likes to put his actors through their paces. And he really, really likes to do this to Bruce Campbell. Goes back in. He's thinking, how can this get any worse? And he realizes Cheryl's loose. Hey, his sister all demoned up. And he's got to get the iconic shotgun. And he's cruising around the endless cabin as they're playing a cat and mouse game. And then he's has to get more shells, shotgun shells, and he ends up in the basement where there's just the most amount of pipes you've ever seen. I don't know why there's pipes all over this basement and this cabin in the hill that looks like it would have an outhouse more than a bathroom. And he takes a big blast of blood in the face from a pipe because, you know, why not? Just blood starts flowing. A projector kicks in and starts playing, and there's odd music. It's off-putting and surreal, and just completely turns our reality upside down. And we're just getting some very intense tilted camera angles. They do a nice little effect with Ashley where he reaches for a mirror and it ends up being liquid. And this, the evil is trying to drive him insane. That's my, you know, because I think they have to get people at a weak moment. And Ashley, you know, for all his like physical sort of ineptitude, a lot of the times, mentally, he's one of the stronger people in this group. If it's the strongest, because he lives. I'll tell you, if he survived this night, I'd crack open a beer. It just might be like 8 or 9 Marshall D's. One of the things about the Hefeweizen that's nice is they're more often than not, they're low ABVs. I've only seen a couple Imperial Hefeweizens in my day, and they've been tasty, but I like it. That's one of the things I like about the Hefeweizen. Nice hot day, just crank them down, waft away. So he touches the mirror, and then Cheryl grabs him through the door, and Scotty comes back, and he jams his thumbs in his eyes. And this seems to work for whatever reason. And then I noticed the first couple of times I said, God, I don't know how many times I've seen this movie. Over 20 at least. But it took me a while. And then I noticed the book is near the fire. And I wondered if maybe that made Scotty's demon weak. I don't know. And he sees it's kind of burning. He goes, I'm going to get it. So the demons are putting the boots to him. They're whacking with andirons as he's trying to get the book, and he's using his little necklace. He's like, come on, man. Come on, necklace. Help me out here. Help me out, buddy. The beating he takes is just so unbelievable. And as soon as he gets it, he throws it in the fire, and everything just stops. And you get this. They do this. Really, they do a good job. They're a bunch of kids, and they had no money and probably not a ton of training in this. Stop motion effect of the demons coming back, and of course he's got to get one last blast of blood and guts to the face, and then it just fades out with "Join us." You think Ashley's man? He's the final guy, right? He's the final guy in this situation. He's gonna get up. He opens the door. Now there's this beautiful orchestral music playing, and it's the morning, and sun's up. And it's a new day. He's so happy. I don't know how he's going to explain it when he gets back to town. I mean, that's going to be a tough one, especially if they all go up there and they just start finding bodies, decapitated girlfriends and guys with their eyes gouged out, and his sister's just a pile of mush. I don't know, but that's the problem for another day. And so he's out there, and he's just covered in blood. And then we go to the back of the cabin, and you're getting this droning sound that always accompanies the evil. And it's a camera on a bicycle, and it rides forth toward the cabin. The back door open, doors are opening for it, opening, and then the front door opens, and it zips right up on Ashley as he turns and just screams. And that's the end. One of the great endings in horror movie history, in my opinion. And there's so many reasons to love this. And it is what these guys were able to do. They created something to me that is just, it's terrifying. Movies about the woods and the forest, you can kind of tell where someone grew up, because sometimes people will go, it doesn't really scare me. And you find out they grew up in a city. So maybe city horror is what they're, you know, there's city horror and country horror, I guess. I don't know. But I just love what they were able to create. I mean, they created an iconic character in Ashley, and gave us Bruce Campbell, and Sam Raimi's had a great career. The Coen brothers, Joel Coen worked on this, helped edit it, and met Sam Raimi, and it was influential. You can see it, especially in their early work with a lot of their tracking shots, that it was influential in horror. It always impresses me that this was the heyday. This was the very middle of the slasher era, and this movie came out and was pretty big. It did a good job. Stephen King, was a huge fan. And he's a huge reason the second one got made, because Sam Raimi was finding funding hard. But it's great to see what people can do. I mean, I remember a guy in film school, he said, give us $100 million and we could make a good movie. Cool looking movie for sure. And he's right. It's great to see what these people do when you don't have a lot and you have to make it up and you have a vision. That's what I really love. Sam Raimi had a vision and he was able to accomplish it. And of course he sort of remade it with The Evil Dead 2. He had more money, but this one for me still gets me. There's so many great, great scares in it. I would absolutely, I mean, I think it goes without saying, I recommend it. Personally think it's essential viewing for a horror fan. And special D's, Hefeweizen, I'm telling you, what's great is you can get it in Eastern Iowa. And if you're doing a Midwest beer tour, you can stop in Dubuque. There's a lot going on there. Then on your way towards Cedar Falls, Waterloo, you've got a place to stop in Independence, Allerton Brewing Company. They've only been around a few years, but they're making some great stuff. And then you've got a whole bunch, that whole area. You could just spend a weekend, 4-day weekend, checking out breweries. And this would has to be on your list. Charming, pretty little town. And as I'm getting ready for the 100th episode, you know, it's a big deal. I wanted to pick a couple of things that I guess I didn't really even think about it, but it's, you know, from home, being a Midwesterner, it's nice to rep, but also this is just such a great movie. This is a cool one to sort of grease the skids as I slide into episode 100. And, you know, you can't go wrong with a good Hefeweizen. That about wraps this episode up. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and comment wherever you listen and wherever available. Check out the website. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Facebook, and always support your local brewery. This is Beer and B Movies. I'm Michael.